Good. Well, welcome. Thanks for being here an hour early today. We'll have a nice little Sunday afternoon nap later. That'll be good. So. You know, I heard a statistic the other day that most North American men have changed careers three times by the time they turn 50. I don't know if that's true or not, but I was thinking about my own life, and I think actually when I turned 50, I was on about career number six, so maybe I'm helping the average a little bit, but one of those things that I did, I was a car salesman, believe it or not. For 5.5 years, I sold cars. And one of the things you learn as a car salesman is that selling a base model car doesn't make the dealership, read you, a whole lot of money. So we were trained to push for the optional extras, right? So, Mr. Arnold, good choice on your 1994 Chrysler Intrepid. I'm sure you'd like to have a sunroof with that, wouldn't you? And someone of your caliber, we'd want to have leather seats. We wouldn't want to just have cloth seats, Mr. Arnold. And we have the latest automatic shoe tire we want to add into, or whatever it was, right? It's all about the optional extras, you know? Well, today we're going to talk about tongues, the gift and the grace of tongues this morning. And unfortunately, I think many Christians view them as optional extras. It's kind of like, no thanks, I'll just go for the salvation-based model. So I want to help us see, you know, a little, there's a little more in God's word for us in this area of tongues. I'm going to try not to do my whole salesman thing, so I'm working and praying against that. But I want to open God's word, the Bible, and ask the Holy Spirit to be our teacher and see what an amazing gift this is that God has given us. So let's pray together before we do that. Lord, we thank you that you are the giver of good gifts, and we trust you, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that any hindrances, any mountains, any blocks that have gotten away in our thinking in this matter, Lord, we just submit those to you this morning, to your word, to your ministry, Holy Spirit. Pray you open our eyes and just bring what you want to bring this morning. We trust you, God. You're a good God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So this word tongue or tongues that we see translated in the New Testament comes from a Greek word and used about 50 times in the New Testament. Basically has three meanings. The first meaning is this thing here, the thing between your teeth, the organ, just tongue, that thing. Not very exciting, but it's one of the words, meanings. Can mean anything tongue-shaped. So maybe a, you know, a piece of land on a map that looks like a tongue would could be called that. So those first two usages of the word aren't particularly interesting to us, but the third one's very interesting. This word can also mean a language, a speech, or a dialect. So that's one of the meanings of this word tongue. And we have a wonderful case study in the Word of God with the Corinthian church. There is basically three chapters that focus on the gifts, and particularly one of those chapters is almost all about this gift of tongues. And I can't think of a more controversial topic, a more divisive topic traditionally in the body of Christ than the gift of tongues. So we really want to be able to stay close to the Word this morning and be able to seek out what the Word says. And we think about the Corinthian church and those two letters we have, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, some perspective is good. When these letters were written, this church, the Corinthian church, was probably only 4 or 5 years old. They were racked by internal divisions, squabbling, and bitterness. They had embraced false notions of stronger and weaker or greater and lesser Christians. So there was a lot of problems in this church, the Corinthian church. But they were a powerhouse church brimming with spiritual gifts, like a racehorse. You know, you get it aimed in the right direction, you win trophies. In the wrong direction, destruction. There was much energy in this church and much excess. So Paul was writing to bring guidance and correction to get these Christians back on track, particularly in the area of tongues. This church may have been utilizing tongues more than any other New Testament church, but they were making a major mistake confusing the private and the public use of tongues. Let me explain that. The Bible reveals two expressions of tongues. The first I would call the grace of tongues. This is tongues that's used in a private context. And the second expression of tongues is what I would call the gift of tongues, tongues used in a public context. Now, it took me about because I'm so thick in the head, about 10 years to figure that out. I came kicking and screaming into this whole understanding of where I am in terms of tongues. And even though I was anti-tongue, and I'll tell you my story a little later, I kind of understood the biblical data about the public gift of tongues. It's pretty hard to miss it if you read 12, 13, and 14. So I kind of understood that. But there was a lot of scriptures that didn't make sense just if that was the only expression of tongues. There was just a lot of places that I thought, this doesn't compute. The Bible doesn't add up. And I began to understand through some friends and through some experiences God gave me that actually there's a second kind of usage of tongues, which is the private use of tongues. So we're going to start with that this morning, what I would call the grace of tongues or tongues used in private, and show you a few places in the scripture and try to help understand this a little more. First place I want to go is Jude, a little teeny book at the end of the New Testament, right before Revelation. Only has one chapter. We usually rush by because we're excited about horns and storms and fire. But Jude is a wonderful little book. And in Jude 17 through 21, here's what the author says. Speaking to Christians, he says, "You must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of God of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life." Praying in the Holy Spirit. I probably read that verse for 20 years before I saw that little tag, praying in the Holy Spirit. It began to really bother me. What does that mean? Well, I believe now that what that's talking about is the private gift of tongues. He's saying as things get more difficult, as things get more confusing, as there's more pressure that comes on the church and more opposition that comes to Christianity, we've got to learn to be able to pray, utilize this private gift, this grace of tongues in our life. It's for our upbuilding in challenging times. Now, we'll see again in a couple other scriptures, tongues, private tongues is much, very much for our own uplifting and upbuilding. Some people would look at that and say, well, that's very selfish. That can't be from God. How many of you know that it's okay to build yourself up in Christ for the purpose of His kingdom? We need to be built up. We get discouraged. We get broken down. We get hammered from the world. And it's a reality that God knows. He's given us this amazing private gift of tongues, this grace of tongues to be able to upbuild ourselves. We see that in Jude. Look over to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6, a famous chapter about the armor of God. We know this pretty well. But a lot of times we miss what comes at the end. Ephesians 6, I'll just start reading 10 because it's good to hear the whole paragraph. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Now we get into the armor of God. "Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shoes on your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, by which you can extinguish the flames of the darts of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Again, for many years of my life, I stopped reading that passage mid-paragraph. But look what it says in verse 18. "In the midst of this spiritual warfare and this armoring up for the battle that we face as Christians, it says, and praying in all times in the Spirit with all prayers and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints," this is Paul, "also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel." So in the middle of this passage in spiritual warfare and the intense reality, by the way, if you're a Christian, we're all involved in this. God has given us this amazing armor, these things that be able to allow us to protect ourselves and to do offensive maneuvers, if you so want to say, in the spiritual realm. God has also given us this amazing grace of tongues to pray in the Spirit for general things and for specific things. At all times, the Scripture says. That's pretty an amazing concept. So we see it there. And then now I want to look in 1 Corinthians 14, because you can't talk about tongues without looking at that, and we'll probably spend the rest of the morning there. 1 Corinthians 14 is probably, the chapter in the Bible that talks more about tongues than anywhere else in the Bible. But I just want to show you a couple things you'll see in 1 Corinthians 14. In verse 2, get to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 14, 2 says this, "For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in his spirit." So the private use of tongues, the grace of tongues, is for speaking to God and uttering mysteries in our spirit. It's hard to describe if you haven't experienced, but it's an amazing thing that our spirit speaks directly to the Spirit of God. There's something that takes place when we're praying in tongues, that there's an amazing connection that God gives. We know the Holy Spirit lives in us as believers in Christ, and God has given us this amazing private ability to be able to communicate with the Holy Spirit, uttering mysteries in the Spirit. Look down a little bit in 14:4, a couple verses later. "The one who speaks in tongues builds himself up." So there we see that one of the purposes of the private grace of tongues is for a building up, for a strengthening up in our own life. Can't tell you how many times I'll be discouraged and beat down and just not feeling like I want to do anything for God, and I'll just feel like I need to start praying in tongues. I'll just pray in tongues to the Lord, and this amazing thing begins to well up within me that I can't fully explain. It's a boldness, it's a passion, it's a rejuvenation that takes place, and it's an amazing gift in upbuilding. Now, I didn't feel like that. It didn't come out of my own life experience. Maybe I'm tired and bummed out or discouraged, whatever. But when I start to pray in tongues, that upbuilding of my spirit comes, and there's a boldness and a confidence that brings. It's an amazing, amazing gift for the believer. Verse 5, Paul says, "Now I want you all to speak in tongues." So, we see Paul saying, hey, this is for everybody. This private use of tongues is for everybody. In verse 14, a little farther down, we pick up an important piece of how this works. 14:14 says this, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." What is Paul speaking about there? One of the things that's amazing about the grace of tongues is it bypasses our intellect in our mind. Now, don't freak out. I'm not anti-mind. You know me. I'm a studier and a teacher and a student, and I really do believe in our mind. But you have to admit, as a Christian, sometimes our head gets in the way. Sometimes we're praying about something fervently and we just run out of words. If you've ever, have been praying for a sick child that's your child, and you're praying and you're praying, and that passion in your heart to see that child well, and you just run out of English words, that's when tongues kicks in and we'd be able to bypass our mind, the thing that gets in the way, and communicate directly with God. Many times when we're involved in, spiritual warfare or difficult times, we don't know what to say. We don't even know what to pray. And yet tongues allows us to get around the hang-up of using our mother tongue and getting the words all lined up right, and just lets the Lord flow in that thing. So it's a very powerful thing, and it bypasses our mind. This is the one thing that causes us to freak out a lot of times when we first start to experience tongues, because it does bypass our mind and takes a little time to get used to that. But I want you to know that's in the Scripture, and God has said, hey, I've set it up this way. It's spirit-to-spirit communication. Not that our mind is not important, because Paul says, I pray with my mind, I sing with my mind, but I also pray in the Spirit. And then the important part is that in 14:15-16, let's look just a little bit farther about this private gift of tongues. Paul says this, "What will I do? If I pray with my spirit, I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I'll sing praise with my mind also." So one of the things we see about the private gift of tongues is a lot of times it has to do with praise. And this is an amazing part of this grace of tongues, is that there's a praise that just wells in us, up in us many times. I don't know if you've had this experience, if you're speaking in tongues, but it happens to me a lot. I'll just be driving down the road. Just the radio's on, and all of a sudden there's a welling up in my heart of praise for God and the goodness of God, and I'll just start to speak in tongues. I drive a school bus, so I have to look in the mirror to make sure that, the kids aren't on the bus, but, now they're filming and recording everything, so maybe I should be more careful. They're going to go, who is this guy? He's whacked. But there's this thanksgiving that wells up in our heart and comes up through our heart. It's something that just comes out of our heart. It's an amazing thing. Sometimes I see that welling up for something that's probably happening in the spiritual realm that I'm not even aware of. As a husband, sometimes there'll just be God will bring tongues in my life. And sometimes in the middle of the night, I'd be praying for my wife, for my children, as a father. Sometimes my role as an elder in the church, there'd just be this thing. And maybe later on, I'll find out somebody was going through a very difficult time at that. It's an amazing gift because God can communicate even without us understanding what the need is. We just trust God and we pray in tongues for that. It's an amazing thing. So this is the grace of tongues, the private use of tongues. So to summarize what this is, it's tongues used in a private prayer context. I believe it's available to all Christians who've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not given to impress others or to indicate God's special approval. Be very careful about the gift of tongues. I don't know if you've ever sort of experienced that kind of snobbery. I certainly had in the past before I'd kind of understood more about these, that, well, I do this and I'm really cool and you don't, so you're like a second-class citizen. There are no second-class Christians. Just want you to know there's no B team on God's team. We are all sons and daughters, direct relationships of God through Jesus Christ if you're a Christian. So it's not to impress other people. It's not given to oppress. And it doesn't indicate God's special approval. Sometimes when people are struggling and, you know, just sort of entering into their journey with tongues, they'll feel like, well, man, how come other people get it and I don't get it? God must not be happy with me. You know what? The great thing about a gift is you don't work for it and you don't deserve it. So relax and just let it come and let God come in his own time in this area of tongues. I'm being really practical today. You're all looking like deer in the headlights, but I hope it's okay to talk real square this morning. But tongues are given to build you up and to deepen your relationship with God. That's a good thing. Don't be embarrassed about wanting to go deeper with God. Use the gifts he gives you to do that. They're a wonderful way to express our thanksgiving to God. I talked about that already. And they're a powerful tool to be used in times of spiritual battle. Tongues are an amazing encryption, if you want to say, that allows you to communicate with God and God to communicate with you in times of intense spiritual warfare. So an amazing, amazing thing. It's a grace that God gives us. That's one of the expressions of tongues we see in the Bible. But the second expression is what I would call the gift of tongues. And this is tongues used in the public context. So now we're going to look at some scriptures that talk about this use of the gift. So 1 Corinthians 12, go back to the beginning of this passage on the gifts. I'll just read 4 to 11. It's important to hear the whole paragraph. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers all of them and everyone. To each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For one is given to the Spirit of utterance of wisdom. These are different spiritual gifts. Now he's listing individual spiritual gifts. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. That's the spiritual gift we're talking about right now. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. We'll talk about that in a minute. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions each one individually as he will. So we see that this public gift, the gift of tongues, is a gift that the Holy Spirit gives for the building up of the church. Every Christian has a spiritual gift. Scripture is very clear. To each one, a manifestation of the Spirit is given. So if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord, you have at least one, a spiritual gift, an amazing thing that God has given you for the benefit of others. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, the purpose of spiritual gifts in general. But each one has that. And tongues, the public gift of tongues, is a spiritual gift. And the Holy Spirit chooses who to give it to. This is what I love about this passage. There's 9 gifts in this first part of 1 Corinthians 12, and the Holy Spirit picks who gets what. Now that's good news, because I trust God, and he knows everything. He knows me, and he's going to give me the very specific thing that will be helpful. He knows my future, he knows my past, he knows who I am, and the Holy Spirit gives those gifts. And to some, he gives the public gift of tongues. Now, of course, 13 talked about how important chapter 13 is. It's between 12 and 14. It's not just a fridge magnet. It's in the context of spiritual gifts, and particularly a church that was really messed up with tongues. That's what the whole point of 13 was, the context. And he says in 13:1, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, how cool is that? I'm Mr. Tongue. I just tongue it up all the time, right? You know. But if I have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So he says what has to motivate all the spiritual gifts is love, particularly the public speaking of tongues has to be motivated by love. Because see, the Corinthians had lost the plot. They were wanting to come up front, and there was all kinds of people wrestling to be up front and give some big thing in tongues, and everybody go, wow, you're really spiritual. Well, that was cool. I've never heard a tongues thing like that. That must be like Ethiopian or something, you know. And they were all pushing and wrestling and wanting to be seen as important, to be seen as somebody who's really spiritual. And Paul says, you've lost the plot altogether. The gifts are given to be distributed in love. And so tongues needs to be used in the context of love. Now, some very practical things for this gift. Look in chapter 14. Some banks to the river, I guess is a good way to say this. The Corinthians were a raging church full of power and wild and craziness. And Paul just said, look, I just need to put some banks in place so you guys know what God has given and what's the purpose of this gift so you don't misuse it and actually do harm with it. So 14:5, he says this. Now, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. So he compares two spiritual gifts all through 14. To see the difference between the two, because they had gone so tongues crazy, they were missing a lot of other things that God wanted to do. So verse 4, the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you to all to speak in tongues, even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so the church may be built up. So we see a very key thing with the public gift of tongues here is that without interpretation, tongues only benefits the speaker. So in a public context, like where we are right now, this gift, the gift of public tongues, always has to come with another gift called the gift of interpretation. And this is very cool that we saw that in the list at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 12. God also gives people a spiritual gift called the gift of interpretation. Now, I've been dying to see this in our church for a dozen years. Well, Lord, why don't we see the public speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues? I'm not sure. I've been praying about it. And last week, we had a great illustration of that. Someone who came up, spoke a tongue, had probably a very clear public gift of speaking in tongues, and there was an interpretation that brought an encouragement to people. Paul says that's how this thing is supposed to work. It doesn't do any good if you just rattle off the tongues publicly without an interpretation. Let's go down in 6, because in 14:6, he just keeps reinstating this all through the passage. No interpretation, no meaning, no good. It's basically what he says, but let's look at 6:13. 14:6. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in a tongue, how will I benefit you unless I bring some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? If even lifeless instruments such as the flute or the harp do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? I said Tuesday night, anybody who's had a child who tried to learn the flute, I can tell you about indistinct notes and pain. And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So in old times, you know, and there was like, was that advance or retreat? Well, you know, if you can't hear the thing clearly, it sort of loses the point, right? Paul says tongues are like that. He says, so with yourselves, if in your tongue you utter speech that's not intelligible, how will anyone know it's said? You'll be speaking into the air. So he says, basically, again, tongues doesn't do any good in a public context without the spiritual gift of interpretation. They don't build anybody up. So if you've ever traveled in a foreign nation and you don't know the language there, and maybe you run into somebody who knows a little bit of English and you need some directions, and they know just enough English to figure out, oh, this guy's lost, and they rattle off in their mother tongue the directions and, oh, okay, go down here, and there's over there, and this guy used to live there, but turn left there, but not right there. And you're going, okay. You're trying to be cool, so you walk off like, hey, thanks. You didn't have a clue what they just said. They're looking at you like, yeah, he's walking the wrong way. He's a tourist, you know? Because you didn't understand, it didn't do you any good. And Paul's saying, it's just so clear, the public gift of tongues without interpretation doesn't do anybody any good. And this is the problem that the Corinthian church had fallen into. They were confusing the private use of tongues, which doesn't require an interpretation in your own prayer life, and the public gift of tongues, which does. Okay. Now, there's a very important reality here at the end of 12 as well. I want you to see this. Speaking of the public gift of tongues, in 12:27, Paul says this. He asks a series of rhetorical questions, and he says this. We'll go to 29. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all possess the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? These are rhetorical questions. The cool thing is in the Greek language, you could structure the grammar to say, I already given you the meaning of the answer of the away. What's the answer? The answer is no. Not everybody has every spiritual gift. So Paul is saying not everybody has the public gift of tongues. Okay, this is what I want you to see the difference. And again, this is what took me about 10 years to figure out. Not everybody has the gift of tongues. But if you do have the public gift of tongues, you got to bring it in a context with interpretation. Now look at just one more good bank, 14:26. Paul says, what then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or interpretation. Let all things done be done for building up. That's what all the spiritual gifts are for. But in particular, the public use of tongues is for building up. If any speak in a tongue, let there be only two or at the most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there's no one to interpret, let each one of them keep silent in the church and speak to himself to God. See, there we're clicking back into the grace of tongues. Without an interpretation, you're not doing any good. So Paul says, your meetings are gotten out of control. There's 15 or 20 people lined up at the same time, crazy talking in tongues, and it's mayhem. He says, you're not doing any good. He says, tongues in the service is a good thing, but it's not the only thing. Two or three at the most. And that brings peace, and that brings order, and that brings glory to God, and builds up the church. Simple solutions, but the church wasn't seeing this. They had lost their way, sort of. He's bringing correction. And then in 14:39, probably the verse that bothered me more than anything for years in my life, if I could have sharpied out some of the Word of God, which I know I'm not supposed to do that, but this has been one of the ones I had to sharpied out. 14:39, Paul says this. I read from the beginning. So, my dear brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Now, for a lot of my life, I would have loved to have made tongues off limits. Matter of fact, we planted churches, my wife and I, where tongues were off limits. I came out of a history of that. And yet Paul says, just because tongues are messed up in the church, don't forbid them. See, we tend to be pendulum people, right? We tend to maybe let the pendulum go way over here, and we get something that's out of control and is messed up. So then we tend to say, oh, let's just shut the door on that. It's so messed up, let's let the pendulum swing way back over here. No tongues at all. That's way safer. But Paul says, no, don't forbid the speaking in tongues. He says, just do it right. Do it in God's way. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Does that make sense? And actually, when I thought about this, it seems ironic now because I never felt the same about any other spiritual gift. You know, if I heard one lousy sermon, maybe my own, you know, did I say no more sermons? No, the spiritual gift of preaching and teaching, out. You screwed up. You made a mistake in your theology. No more of those. We don't do that. You know, one attempt to heal someone and we don't see healing. No, no more healing. We're not praying for healing anymore. We don't do that with any of the other gifts, so why do we do that with tongues? Sure, tongues can get messed up. We're all growing in our spiritual gifts. Deal with it. And that's exactly what Paul was doing. Say, hey, just because this is goofed up doesn't mean throw it out. Get it right. Go back to the Word of God and get it right. So that's what he brings. So let me just summarize the gift of tongues. It's tongues used in a public context. It's used to build up and strengthen others, not to make ourselves look cool or good. Not everyone has it. This is what hung me up, this thing between private and public tongues. I didn't understand that. I do believe that private tongues, every spirit-filled believer has that. But the gift of tongues, the public gift of tongues, not everyone has that gift, like they don't have every other gift. It must be used only if there's an interpretation following. Now, sometimes you'll see in Scripture, there's two places in this chapter 14, the person who bring the tongues, it's possible they can also have the gift of interpretation. They can interpret their own tongue. There's a place for that in here. But a lot of times it's somebody else who brings the interpretation. So what that means is this person has the public gift of tongues, and this person has the interpretation of tongues. And like the body illustration, they have to work together for the thing to work. It's a powerful gift mix. There's not any other gifts I can think of that require sort of these two people coming together to get the thing done. But it's a great picture of what's in 1 Corinthians 12 about the body, needing each other, valuing each other, you know. The person who brings the tongue is no cooler than the one who brings the interpretation tongues. It's a dumb way to think about it because they're gifts from God anyway. They're just using what God's given them, so go for it. Must be used only if there's an interpretation following. And it's an important part of a meeting, but it should not dominate a meeting. Okay? So yeah, we want to have space for the public speaking and interpretation of tongues, but that's not the only thing that's going on. God's doing other things. Other spiritual gifts are being used in a context of a worship service. So there's the two expressions of tongues. So let me kind of take this home. A couple of things I see from this. One is the gift or the grace of tongues, the private use of tongues, I believe is available to all Christians who've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I think if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have the ability to be able to pray privately in tongues. I don't see anything in Scripture that indicates you can't do that. Now, we're going to talk about why sometimes we don't see that, but I do believe that God has given it for all people who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's an amazing grace. It's not the gift of tongues, but it's a grace of tongues. Second thing is, if we're ignoring tongues, I think we're impoverishing ourselves and the church. I'm just being really square. We're weakening our spiritual walk, and we're hindering the power available to us. You know, this is a pretty powerful thing that God has given us, this private grace of tongues. And if we're saying, no, God, I don't want this, I just have to be square to say we're actually limiting a lot of power that God wants to use, a reason why he's given us a good thing in our life. When I was struggling for about 10 years over this gift and understanding it, we bought a house out in the country that I had no clue, but it had a whole lot of background way back to the beginning of the 20th century, horrible stuff. And we bought into just a lot of demonic, yucky stuff in this property. I didn't know anything about how to deal with that. It was all brand new to me. But as we started to grow and started to see victory in that property, in our home where our children lived and where we lived, I found that tongues ended up being a very, very powerful, the private use of tongues, a very powerful weapon in seeing the victory in that situation. I won't tell you the specifics of that, but when that battle was hot and heavy, I can't remember if it was a dream or maybe a kind of a vision thing, but I just had this picture of a World War II army arrayed against me. You know, cannons and howitzers and tanks and guys lined up and, you know, planes coming in on the horizon. Just this whole battlefield picture against me. And I was alone with a pop gun. You know what those things are? You put the cork in and they go, right? Make my day, you know? Yeah. That's a very bad feeling. But that's how I felt facing the evil we were dealing with at that time. And that's where God began to say, you like this feeling? You like being on the battlefield here without any armor, without any tools, without any way to have victory? This one of the things you've got to get straight is tongues. And so that's where I really started to wrestle and deal with that and see God use that. So if we're not using tongues, we're impoverishing ourselves. And I believe we're impoverishing the church, just to be real square. Third thing is, we can grow in our maturity and our ability in tongues. This would be true of both private and public. I think in all the spiritual gifts, God gives them to us. They're a supernatural thing. They're not a human thing. Because a guy is a teacher at school doesn't mean he has the spiritual gift of teaching. They are a spiritual thing, but we can grow in them. We can get more skilled. We can get better. We can get mentored and coached by people who are farther along in that gift. We can grow in those gifts. So I think we can grow in our accuracy for those that have the public gift of tongues. And I think we can grow privately in our experience of tongues, the grace of tongues, as we mature in them. So if you feel like you've sort of started and it seems like very infantile, that's okay. Good. It can grow. I've been watching our granddaughter learn to walk in the last year, you know. So what were her parents like? The first time she took a few tottering steps, you know, and whacked her head on the coffee table, it was like, don't you ever do that again. No, I'm cutting you off from walking. Because is that what parents do? No. Get the camera. Where's grandma, grandpa? Our kid's taking her first walk. I think when we start to experience, for many times, not everybody, but some people, we start to experience the private gift of tongues, it seems very infantile. And we tend to want to go, oh, that's kind of lame. I better not do that anymore. Where I think God's in heaven going, yes, 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 I'm so proud of you. Go for it more. Grow in it, right? Heaven sees this thing way more than we do. So we can grow in our ability in both areas. And then I think just practically, there's roadblocks that we all need help through. And I'm talking about the private gift of tongues, the grace of tongues right now. I think lots of people, in my experience, even here in our own church, have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but they haven't really fully come into the private gift of tongues because there's some roadblocks. There certainly were in my own life. I'll give you just some from my own life. Inhibiting factors that prevented me from coming sort of into that experience of tongues. I think a lot of it for me was incorrect teaching, had godly teachers that loved me and loved the word, but they just didn't see tongues as realistic. You know, I spent 4 years at a very, very conservative seminary, you know, earning an advanced, impressive sounding degree. And, you know, a joke that this school, we weren't even allowed to have tongues in our shoes. So, you know, I mean, I was trained and I was steeped. I mean, I came out after 4 years with all the answers and I didn't know any of the questions, okay? So I've had to unlearn some stuff, to be honest with you, about what I was taught with tongues. Good people, but just wasn't biblical teaching. I think there was a suspicion about tongues. There was sort of an underlying backroom, tongues is from the devil. Now, nobody said that initially. I've heard it since then, to my face. But I think we have this suspicion about tongues. Just get over that. Satan duplicates everything. He wants to mess things up. That's just his normal mode. I can tell you that about any spiritual gift. But tongues, the gift of tongues and the grace of tongues are a good thing from God. I think I never correctly saw them modeled. I was a super anti-tongue guy. I never knew anybody who spoke in tongues. I never went to a church that used public tongues because they were all bad people. I never read a book from somebody from that perspective, and my library was sanitary, you know, sanitized, I mean, that stuff, you know. Never listened to a tape. We had tapes those years. Never watched it, you know. I just never knew anybody and saw it modeled. So when I started to hang out in the church, when I first saw it, I was like, wow, actually, that's not so whack. That was kind of cool. I think being a preacher and a teacher, the way I'm wired, words matter to me. I've spent my whole life trying to get better at words, wordsmithing and word crafting and saying more with less. So all my life has been about words. And when I came into tongues, this thing that went by my head, it was like, what do you mean? What do you mean I don't craft the words? What do you mean No, it's my spirit talking to the Spirit of God. And some of you can relate to that if you're a person like me that's very analytical and values words. Tongues is an insult to my pride, actually, initially. Because I needed to be the guy. And tongues is not about me being anything. It's about my spirit communicating with God's spirit. It was a roadblock for me. And then I'll just be really honest. We're being honest today. My wife got them before I did. Man, this made me mad. You know, for like 2 years, Dina's just growing and being blessed in tongues. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I'm the head of the family. I'm the vanguard of my family. I'm the spiritual leader. I'm the one with all the degrees. What are you doing here? You know, so my pride got in the way. And, you know, kicking and screaming over a long period of time that I see this kind of come. But God is good. I want you to know that if there are inhibiting factors in your life, God is wanting to help you through those things so you can experience at least the private speaking in tongues, and some of you may have the gift of public speaking in tongues. So just because there's barriers doesn't mean you can't come through them, because God wants us to bring us through our barriers in lots of areas of our life. I know you found that. So we're going to close this morning. I'm just going to invite the worship team to come up. Just going to pray for a removal of some of those barriers for some of you that are wanting to experience tongues. We're not forcing anything here. Hear this. You can't do this humanly. It's not something that we can make up or just manufacture. It's the goodness of God, but we can make a space for that, for people to grow in that. This is the grace of God. And if you're here today and, you know, you're not tracking with this, that's okay. Just relax. I encourage you just to have grace for maybe people around you that are struggling and growing in this and want to see a breakthrough in this. We're all in different places on this. Remember what I said, there's no second Christians. We're all sons and daughters of God. But I do believe there's some people here this morning that want to get through some blockages, and I just feel like that's what God is saying this morning. So I'm just going to pray for a minute, and then we'll see where the Lord goes from there. But let's do pray. Well, Lord, I thank you for these two expressions of such an amazing thing, the public and the private use of tongues. You're such a good God. You do not leave us unarmed and vulnerable, Lord. You protect us and you give us weapons of warfare in the spiritual realm. And I thank you for this particular one, Lord. Just feeling like it would be good if you're wanting to come into tongues and you've been working maybe through this and haven't really seen a release yet. Sometimes it starts with just asking forgiveness for God. This is a weird thing to say, but At some stage, I had to say to God, Lord, please forgive me for ignoring this amazing gift. And in my life, it was actually even stronger than ignoring. It was resisting, active resisting. We know that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So if you're desirous of seeing a greater release in this area in your own private life or maybe even in a public gifting, I just encourage you to maybe start with forgiveness if your story was like my story. Lord, we just ask your forgiveness for feeling like we know more than you do. Lord, forgive us for ignoring this. Forgive us even in a greater way for active resistance to this amazing gift, this grace you give us, Lord. Just receive your forgiveness now. And Holy Spirit, I just want to ask you right now for an outpouring in this room, in the people that are here. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Just pray you'll wash away any blockages, any unhelpful teaching from the past, any suspicion about this gift. Holy Spirit, come and just bring a cleansing right now. Lord, for any experiences that people in the church may have had where this got abused, they were in some place and they saw some wacky thing that wasn't of you, just wash that off of them, Lord. Forgive us when we want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, Lord. But Lord, we want to see this expression in the real way in our church, Lord. But I ask you for an outpouring of this grace and this gift in our church, Lord. For the building up of people, for the building up of others, for the extension of the kingdom. Lord, I just thank you for this. I'm going to have a moment, just in a minute. All I can say is it's a workshop up front here, but Russell, do you have something you want to add before that?
Just felt while I was sitting at the back, God gave me two pictures, and the one was a picture of a teacher standing up teaching a class, and that just evokes in me the thought that there's an impartation of information, and at the end I'm going to be tested on it. And then I saw this other picture, which was the one that the Lord highlighted to me, which was this painter standing in front of a canvas, and at the beginning, I don't know, I'm not an artist myself, but I'd imagine that for every painting, because it's a creation, it's an act of creating, that there's always even surprises for the painter on the journey of painting that picture. And it's really not about writing an exam or getting it right. It's about the ability to see this beautiful thing evolve and come into being that is actually brings a greater understanding of who the painter is.
That's right.
Displayed in that work. And I just felt like God saying that this over us as a church, this is not an exam. This is not about getting it right. This is about the Creator engaging with our spirits and just enabling for Him to paint. And actually, at the end of the day, it's all about Him getting the glory. And so in that thing, there's this amazing ability to just be free. And I felt like God saying, like a painter is free. Be free in that, even in searching out and saying, God, this is what I desire. There's no test at the end.
Sure.
This is about a relationship with Christ that He's wanting to bring you into to the deeper level.
Good. So just very practically, I'd ask you to stand. We're just going to worship a little bit here. And if you need some help, just want someone to pray alongside you for this gift, for any blockages that the Holy Spirit's highlighted, just come up front. Our leadership team, I invite you to come front. Just to be able to pray for people. If you need to go, Lord bless you. Have a wonderful day. And if you can stay around and linger and worship a bit, that's great. So Holy Spirit, we invite you now. Lord, we just pray for these people that are coming forward, Lord, that you would have your way in their lives. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.